I love a sunburnt country, a land of sweeping plains, of ragged mountain ranges, of droughts and flooding rains. I love her far horizons, I love her jewel sea, her beauty and her terror, the wide brown land for me. That was a popular stanza excerpted from My Country, one of the best-known works of poetry in Australia, by Dorothea McKellar, which perfectly captures the natural beauty and the heart and spirit of Australia. Awe-inspiring, surreal, breathtaking. These are words that are used to describe the Australian land and its coastline. The Great Barrier Reef, located in the Coral Sea off the northeast coastline, is the largest natural feature on Earth, stretching more than 2,300 kilometres. The Australian outback, with its spectacular scenery and primal mythology, has long been revered as one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Heading further inland to Australia's red centre, Eyre's Rock or Uluru, a giant sandstone monolith, is a spectacular sight which changes colour according to the position of the sun. The massive rock domes date back 500 million years and are rich in indigenous artwork and lore. Australians have a warm, light-hearted and generous nature. Anywhere you go, you'll be greeted with a friendly, "G'day mate." It's comforting to know that you have 20 million friends who will always be there if needed. And now, please join us on Words of Wisdom today for an insightful lecture entitled How Suffering Can Lead Us to Happiness, delivered by Supreme Master Ching Hai in Sydney, Australia on March 16, 1993.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centres near you.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. It is a great pleasure for me to be in your great country and in the great city of Sydney. You have taken for granted how beautiful your country is, but I appreciate probably better than you since I just came the first time. It's so beautiful and clean and friendly. I think the people of Australia are very lucky to have at least the outer paradise on earth. And should we have inner paradise as well, then we are perfect. We have the perfect condition, and we do not wish to be in any other heaven. I'm happy and grateful that you have received some precious time to come here, that we can get to know each other. I have not the desire to come in such a way. Oh, I have no desire to come at all, even though I like Australia. But just the invitation, the repeated request from my fellow practitioners in Australia that I have the honor to come here at all. But even then, in my heart, I have always the strong conviction that you and I are no different. There's no distinction whatsoever between each of us, and that I have absolutely nothing to teach you except to exchange the love and all the things that God has given us. But since some of our fellow practitioners in Australia were so loving and so earnest in their request of my presence, that I have been brought here, perhaps by the love of the disciples, so-called disciples, and by the will of God, that I may get to know your country, that we might link with each other, at least through my humble presence. Maybe that is the only purpose that I should be here. But then, wherever I am invited to go, there will be always people who, perhaps humble in their attitude, or perhaps have forgotten their origin, that is, their own kingdom of God, their own wisdom. And therefore, there will be always question about how to seek the Buddha or God or the Christ power within themselves. And therefore, it seems that my purpose of coming to some places is to share with the people in that native land some of my collected knowledge about how to return to our own wisdom or the supreme power within ourselves. Many of the times I was asked why the title of the Supreme Master. Am I so arrogant to call myself the Supreme Master? I said, no, it's the name of my father. Just like you are Mr. Smith, and so your daughter is also Miss Smith. And it's also the name of our father, your father. And so you can also call yourself the Supreme. I actually forgot all about it, but just people keep reminding me. Now, in this world, we have found a lot of suffering as well as happiness. And most of the people would like to know why there is suffering and how to find happiness. The question to me is not to eliminate so much of the suffering and not to gain more happiness, but to gain the supreme power through which we see happiness and suffering as just a stage play. And then we will see things in life just as we see the movie. We may have a little emotion through the characters in the movie, but we will not be overwhelmed by this emotion and get drowned in this emotion. So therefore, the difference between a so-called enlightened person and a so-called non-enlightened person is the strength. It's the wide outlook for the different phenomena in this world, as well as the world beyond. When we say the world beyond, it is actually not correct, because there is no world beyond. Every word is within us. And when we say within, it's also not correct, because there is no outside and no inside. But because of our human language, we have to express it somehow, the inner feeling or the inner intuitive understanding. Actually, there is a very strange feeling after enlightenment, because you feel that everyone is all right the way they are. And you know that everyone has this supreme power within themselves, or the Buddha nature within themselves. And why don't they know it? And therefore identify themselves with the suffering within and without. But because of that, many of people of the world like to seek enlightenment so that they know. After enlightenment, you were just the same as before. But there's only one difference, is that you accept everything that comes to you, and everything is given to you is holy, and everyone else is holy. Even though maybe in the course of teaching or guiding, the enlightened person might point out some direction that perhaps is useful for the true seekers after the kingdom of God. Therefore, we have heard of perhaps vegetarian diet, or the 10 precepts in the Bible, the 5 precepts of the Buddhist, etc. These are the helping factors for the spiritual seeker, so that he or she may achieve the quicker result and the safest way to attain the so-called liberation. If we had known that we are already liberated, perhaps these things are not absolutely necessary. But because most of us do not know that we are liberated, therefore we need some tools like meditation practice, vegetarian diet, and ethical precepts. Sometimes people give bargaining, saying, well, I want the initiation, but no precepts and no vegetarian. Is that all right? I said to him, it is all right, as long as you want to play the football with other people, but bring along the tennis ball or tennis equipment. And then you would not be playing football at all. Then the game is spoiled, and you yourself will not be enjoying the football game, but just being in a messy condition. There is such thing as enlightenment, as long as we are still in the ignorant state of mind. That means we do not know that we are enlightened. Then we need enlightenment. What for enlightenment? So long as we still want to seek peace and happiness within ourselves, and to grant this happiness to other people, we need enlightenment. Should we think this world is perfect the way it is, and we still continue to go on without caring whether we will be here next, we'll be reborn again as what or not? And of course, we do not need. If we still care for the welfare of the world and peace in this earth, of course, we need enlightenment. Before mind so-called enlightenment, I was having a very so-called good life, very harmonious. Well, I mean, not 100%, but comparable to other harmonious life. And there was nothing that I need or desire to have, which I don't already have. But somehow, there are many things in this life, like richness, fame, health, happy marriage, friends, etc., do not seem to completely fill the emptiness within our heart. That is because we are lacking the knowledge of our own super wisdom. After we have found our own super wisdom, maybe we still continue to serve a household life, to enjoy our marriage, to raise our children, to fulfill our social obligation. But the total outlook is completely different from before. We'll be contented. The contentment that I have mentioned is not similar to the contentment that we feel after we eat a nice meal, or maybe meet a good friend, or having a very merry party. Because this contentment is everlasting. Whether we have a party or not, whether we are married or not married, whether we have a good position or not good position, whether we are wealthy or we are not wealthy, whether we are in good health or we are in illness. This stability of mind, this peacefulness of our own being, will be achieved only if we are enlightened. The cause of all suffering is not through an external condition, but it is truly from our own attitude. Just like, for example, many the Indian monks or other countries' monks, they live a very simple life. They probably live in a cave or a tent, or they just sleep wherever they can. But they are very happy and contented, and they don't ask for anything. But to an ordinary person, if he is to be forced to spend his time in such a condition, he will feel very unhappy. And he will be forever striving to gain more rich or more fame, or in whatever in his mind appear to be desirable. Similarly, also in spiritual practice, if we do not find a best way, the fastest way to achieve our highest enlightenment goal, then we'll be also forever desiring spiritual experiences. Not that many other methods cannot offer us enlightenment. It just probably, it takes too long, and we will be exasperated by waiting too long, and nothing happened, or it happened just too little. It couldn't satisfy our longing for God, if you call that God. What is God? Many people ask me. Is that a person or is it an impersonal power? I always told them it is both. If it should appear to you as a person to satisfy your longing, then it will be that way. If not, then you will perceive through intuitive understanding what God is. We imagine God is the fulfiller of our wishes, of our promises, but that is true, even though it is too materialistic a way to express what God is. We don't find God as a person who sits there and grants us every candy or cake that we want to have. But automatically, our life will be fulfilled. But we will be fulfilled even with or without candy. That is the orthodoxical way of God. Because God is our own fulfillment self, our own very self. When we attain to our self, we will never feel lacking in any way at all. And all those so-called siddhis power, meaning the supernatural power of any kind, will automatically come to us. Most of the masters do not advocate supernatural power for fearing that we attach ourselves too much to the spiritual materialism. And therefore, we have not the interest and the strength enough to go further into a higher realms of realization. In India, there was a story about a king. He was a very good king and loving to his subject. Now, one day, he arranged that all his possessions, treasures, will be given to the people at large. Whoever needs anything can just come and satisfy him or herself at the exhibition without any condition at all. Because he has no children and no family ties, so he loved his people as his own. Everyone came and picked something of his heart's desire. But there was one girl. She came and go straight to the back of the, probably the room or the place where the king exhibited all his possession, and put her hand on his shoulders and asked, "Are you also available?" And the king was surprised. "Say, why? Didn't you like any of the things that I have laid outside?" So the girl said, "No, I only like you." So and then, of course, the king was very happy that somebody liked him for himself alone and not because of his treasures. Of course, then the king availed to her, and then they got married, something like that. Live happily ever after, as we should be. Huh? And you know what happened? Huh? The girl did not want anything, but the whole nation belonged to her, including all these subjects and all these objects. Therefore, in our path, we also do not advocate the miracle power. Doesn't mean we don't have. After the great enlightenment, or even small enlightenment, we have all the powers that we want. But then we will have so much that we don't even know how much power we have. Instead of clinging to a corner of the house, we have the whole house, and included that corner. Some people, before coming to learn this immediate enlightenment method of the heavenly light and sound, they have also tried to practice in many other meditational ways. And they have also achieved probably somewhat of the city's power or the power of seeing very far away or hearing something which is not in the vicinity. For example, I sit here and I can see what happened in London, or I can hear what happened in Paris. Yes, this is so-called city power. Or probably we can read the other people's mind, see what he's thinking about us. Yeah. Well, this is probably good for the spy, for the people who are doing 007 or something like that. But then after they have become initiated into our path, and somehow they lost these powers. Or maybe they have seen some better things or know better knowledge that they have begged the master to take away this city's power from them. There are two reasons for this. First, probably they've gone too high, higher than the city power level, so they have overlooked the previous miracle that they have possessed. The second reason why they have not lost this power and begged the master to take them away, it is because they probably still cling to this power somewhat in their mind. And so the master let them have the choice to forsake it themselves or not. Because after you have gone into a little bit further region of consciousness, a higher level of being, then you will feel that these cities, so-called power, are more hindrance than help to our spiritual progress. Therefore, we automatically do not want to use them. Suppose you sit here in samadhi, in a very tranquil state of mind, where you are in a super awareness of your true self, and you have no desire absolutely for heaven and earth. And then you see something happen in London, which is very gruesome. And then you can't do nothing about it. Would that make you feel comfortable? No, not really, right, you're correct. Yeah, you feel more frustrated, and then you get more upset. And you have tried to attain the state of peace of mind, and here you are, feeling very frustrated and miserable about somewhere else's condition, of which you cannot do absolutely anything at all. Or maybe you see to somebody else's heart or mind, or you see into your wife's heart and see that she's loving the neighbors and not you. And then could that be helpful when you're sitting in meditation? Huh? No. And suppose somebody were bearing a lot of hatred against us, and then we have the power to penetrate his mind. That would be a very uncomfortable feeling for both. Because most of the people have sometimes very uncontrollable feeling, uncontrollable emotion within themselves, which might or might not have nothing to do with them. And if we get to know all these things, it's only useless. And then we always worry about the mundane level, and we can never get into the beyond in order to merge ourselves in the greatest wisdom. There are a lot of spiritual happenings in our century. And therefore, it is good for us very good for our people in this age to know so much about the superpower within ourselves. But sometimes it also confuses us as to follow which direction, because mostly we will be tempted by the so-called immediate result, like a miraculous power or healing ability and seeing through the walls or walking in the space, etc. That we forgot what is the main purpose of practicing meditation or getting to know spirituality at all. It shouldn't be really. Because when we know our true self, the supreme wisdom inside, we will know everything. That, I think, is the best measurement, the best standard to judge which path we should concentrate on. Therefore, Jesus also said, "Seek you first the kingdom of God, and all other things shall be added unto you." The kingdom of God is not something that is very far away in heaven. It is here right now. And we have them all within ourselves. We only have to unlock it and use it every day. And then we will see how better a person we become, how wise, how loving, and how satisfied a person you will become.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
Thank you for your company for today's episode of Words of Wisdom. Please tune in tomorrow for part two of this fascinating lecture entitled How Suffering Can Lead Us to Happiness. And now stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for a journey through aesthetic realms. Coming up next, right after Noteworthy News. May heaven grace your life with truth, beauty and virtue.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/WOW.